With the prime suspect behind bars, the investigation into the murder of Debbie Carter came to a virtual halt. Weeks passed with little activity. Dennis Fritz worked for a short time in a nursing home, then a factory. The Ada police harassed him occasionally, but eventually lost interest. Glenn Gore was still in town, but of little interest to the cops. The police were frustrated, tensions were high, and the pressure was about to increase dramatically. In April 1984, another young woman was murdered in Ada, and though her death was unrelated to Debbie Carter's, it would eventually have a profound impact on the lives of Ron Williamson and Dennis Fritz. Denise Haraway was a 24-year-old student at East Central who worked part-time at McAnally's convenience store on the eastern edge of Ada. She had been married for 8 months to Steve Haraway, also a student at East Central and the son of a prominent dentist in town. The newlyweds lived in a small apartment owned by Dr. Haraway and were working their way through college. On Saturday night, April 28th, around 8:30, a customer was approaching the entrance to McAnally's when he was met by an attractive young woman who was leaving the store. She was accompanied by a young man. His arm was around her waist. They appeared to be just another pair of lovers. They walked to a pickup truck, where the woman got in first, on the passenger's side. Then the young man got in and slammed the door, and a few seconds later the engine started. They left, going east, away from town. The truck was an old Chevrolet with a spotty, gray-primered paint job. Inside the store, the customer saw no one. The cash register drawer was open and had been emptied. A cigarette was still burning in the ashtray. Beside it was an open beer can, and behind the counter was a brown purse and an open textbook. The customer tried to find the clerk, but the store was empty. Then he decided that perhaps there had been a robbery, so he called the police. In the brown purse, an officer found a driver's license belonging to Denise Haraway. The customer looked at the photo on the license and made a positive identification. That was the young lady he'd passed on the way into the store less than half an hour earlier. Yes, he was sure it was Denise Haraway because he stopped at McAnally's often and knew her face. Detective Dennis Smith was already in bed when the call came. "Treated like a crime scene," he said, then went back to sleep. His orders, though, were not followed. The manager of the store lived nearby, and he soon arrived. He checked the safe. It had not been opened. He found $400 in cash under the counter, awaiting transfer to the safe, and he found $150 in another cash drawer. As they waited for a detective, the manager tidied up the place. He emptied the ashtray with a single cigarette butt in it and threw away the beer can. The police didn't stop him. If there were fingerprints, they were gone. Steve Haraway was studying and waiting for his wife to come home after McAnally's closed at 11 p.m. A phone call from the police stunned him, and he was soon at the store, identifying his wife's car, textbooks, and purse. He gave the police a description and tried to remember what she was wearing: blue jeans, tennis shoes, and a blouse he couldn't recall. Early Sunday morning, every policeman on Ada's 33-man force was called in for duty. State troopers arrived from nearby districts. Dozens of local groups, including Steve's fraternity brothers, volunteered to help in the search. OSBI agent Gary Rogers was assigned to lead the investigation from the state level, and once again Dennis Smith was to direct the Ada police. They divided the county into sections and assigned teams to search every street, highway, road, river, ditch, and field. A clerk at JP's, another convenience store a half mile from McAnally's, came forward and told the police about two strange young men who'd stopped by and spooked her not long before Denise disappeared. Both were in their early 20s with long hair and weird behavior. They shot a game of pool before leaving in an old pickup truck.